There is no doubt that the next several days are going to be a very rough ride for many of my friends and family in the state of Florida.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the Tuesday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Well, as many of you have followed starting this past weekend through even today, the storm in the Gulf of Mexico has erupted almost seemingly out of nowhere and exploded into a massive storm, or at least an intense storm, in a record amount of time. Now, what could that mean? How did that happen? This is an event for those that know the west coast of Florida, and I lived there for many, many years. And I still have family in harm's way on the west coast of Florida. I'm trying to decide and help them in determining what's their best course of action, depending upon where they live and what things they may be facing in the days ahead. This storm, like I say, it seemed to explode out of nowhere. I follow hurricane stuff quite a bit because I live there and I've got family there. We have a home on the East Coast and I have family on the West Coast. And so I'm always deeply concerned during this time of the year, especially when you get into August, September, and October, when the peak of the season really occurs and then it diminishes rapidly after October. And here we watched two different storms develop in the Gulf of Mexico. One in a typical pattern heading generally to the north-northeast, which was Hurricane Helene. But it became a massive hurricane, bigger than what you're used to seeing. Now, all the alarmists are screaming, global warming, climate change did it, you got to get an electric car, get rid of your SUV and your gas stove and stop eating meat. This is pretty much the mantra they're going to use. But what is some of the cause of these rapidly increasing hurricanes? Oh, I know there are some that speculate, maybe it's Harp, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. But then again, maybe there's some natural things going on in the background that our news media, which I've learned over the years, is not to be trusted. CBS is not trustworthy. ABC, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, don't trust them. They have lied so many times in the past. Why would you begin to trust them now in anything? They're a bunch of buffoons and clowns, and they make a mockery of the idea of journalism. These creepy people are not journalists. They're propaganda artists. Well paid, I might add, too. So I do have some deep concerns in what this storm can do. So let me address my concerns about the storm and its impacts. Of course, the Tampa Bay area, and really, as the storm can jog and change a little bit, there's nothing cast in stone that says that its pathway is going to continue to be a specific pathway. The storm could intensify. The storm could even degrade itself a bit before it hits shore. We don't know yet. Even on Monday, they were talking about it could run into some dry air and drop down in category and strength as it approaches land. And depending upon the time of day and just there's not so much tidal action per se in the Gulf, but there is some. And every little bit will count when that time hits. I can remember when Hurricane Charley hit the Punta Gorda, Port Charlotte area called Deep Creek. The storm, the hurricane winds did not extend out very far from the center, but they were Category 4, Category 5. And in their little path, they caused quite a bit of destruction. And where I lived, not that many miles north, the winds were nowhere near the intensity of just 20 miles south. Now, how this storm will shake out as you're hearing this program, it's hard to say. I have to record in advance, so I can't predict the full future. I can give you an idea that I think it's going to get a lot worse And it might get a little better as it heads towards shore. We just don't know yet. How this is going to impact our elections is something deeply concerning to me. Just like the storm as it hit Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina. It seems not so much South Carolina, but Georgia, even Southwest Virginia, East Tennessee, and Western North Carolina. Outside of Asheville, North Carolina, most of Western North Carolina is a very conservative area, and their voting record proves as such. You know, in 2020, Donald Trump won North Carolina by a mere 70,000 votes. What would happen if 70,000 Western North Carolina voters are unable to vote or just not inclined to do so because they're too busy trying to put their life back together? Could a battleground state like North Carolina be lost? Yeah, possible. What about Georgia? It seems that a lot of the tracking there encompassed much of the more, shall we say, conservative regions of the state. Could it impact the election? Possibly. Here in Southwest Virginia, we're getting back to normal a lot quicker. We were not that severely impacted compared to other places. But there are places in Tennessee, and like I say, North Carolina, that'll be impacted for months, maybe years. And so I see that Helene will have an impact. And then the thought occurs to me, knowing the state of Florida as well as I do, the more conservative counties are in the panhandle or the western part of the state. There are some counties on the East Coast that are what I call outliers. And I'll give you an example if you know Florida at all. Indian River County tends to be conservative. Brevard County, just north of Indian River County, tend to be conservative. And it stays that way all the way up toward Jacksonville. And if you go south from Indian River County, you hit St. Lucie County, which is kind of purple. It's kind of a borderline county. It has trended a little bit more conservative over the years. But then the next county south of St. Lucie County is going to be Martin County, a small county. It leans conservative, and then you hit Palm Beach County, and it changes on a dime. The well-populated stronghold of Southeast Florida is definitely not conservative. There are new islands of conservatism, but generally speaking, Broward County, Palm Beach County, these have been the stronghold of Democrats for years. What's going to happen? I've got a friend of mine that already knows that when this storm hits, he lives in a mobile home in the Tampa Bay area. And this last storm almost wiped him out, that just glazed his region. Very, you know, winds only 40 miles an hour, and the water in his roadway. But a direct hit like this is going to destroy his mobile home. He'll have nothing to return to, and he knows it. He knew that risk when he purchased it a number of years ago and pays a lot fee. And if it's like a lot of these older mobile homes, little double wides put in the 90s, you know, you don't bother to insure it. You can't afford to. There's just no need to. Because with what you'd pay for insurance over the next 5 or 6 years, you could, you know, replace it. And so there are a lot of people, and there are going to be thousands of them, that are going to lose their homes, these mobile homes. I see it. And where they're going to end up. So I know this guy is busy. He has a small trailer that he owns. So he's packing up everything that's of value to him in his life, and he's getting out. My daughter lives inland in Venice, Florida. But I'm even concerned about where she lives because of the impact of some of the little canals that run in to the neighborhood in which she lives that I also used to live in. And I could see some potential flooding. I firmly believe the house they have will withstand this, but they'll be without power, I'm sure, for an extended period of time. And how will they survive? I've got a granddaughter that lives not far from there, about 20-25 minutes to the toward the southeast in a town called Northport, and I can see her also facing issues and her entire family. So I do have some deep concerns. Like I say, on the East Coast where we have a home, I'm not really concerned that much, just a few things that need to be done. I don't anticipate even hurricane strength winds there. But I'll tell you a place that I am deeply concerned about. Now listen to me carefully. For those of you that listen on WRMI, we're on the air a few times a day. We start in the morning on a frequency of 15-770. I believe, and I'm trying to remember this off the top of my head, it seems to change with the time changes. It's 11 o'clock in the morning now, I believe. And then we are on the air at 6 p.m. on 9395. And then four nights a week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, we are on 5950. Right now, that area inland, because of the track, puts the location of WRMI's transmitter site and towers and antenna systems in harm's way. And for those that don't really understand, if you're assuming there's a big staff at that radio station to fix stuff that doesn't exist, there's no shortwave station I'm aware of in the United States outside of the Voice of America. And even they're shutting down and gradually mothballing or dismantling many of their facilities. The number of engineers out there that work on this kind of equipment is few and far between. The staff at WRMI is tiny. They just don't have, and what you need to understand, it's not like there's one antenna there. You've got many antenna systems, and they're fed by telephone poles, open wire, up to a half a mile from the building. And those poles have been in the ground for many, many years. And if the wind is sufficient, a lot of those poles could be knocked down. Some of those antennas may go down to the ground, never to go back up again. I'm just warning you. It may not be feasible, depending upon the kind of a strike that they take. Several years ago, a couple of their antennas were permanently damaged, and they're not usable anymore. And it's not economically feasible to repair them. And so, come this Thursday night, this program may not be airing on WRMI because power could be gone, towers could be down, and it's hard to say how long it may take, if ever, for some of that to be restored. So I don't know what the future of this program is going to be on WRMI, depending upon how this storm impacts them. And this is not to say anything negative about them. This is just a reality that when a major storm like this comes, what are you going to do? How do you deal with it? Is there any way to deal with it? That site has survived, 40-some-odd years. But over time, the odds of a storm coming like this with this intensity in that direction to impact them, I haven't seen a storm like this in a long time. It's been over 100 years since a storm of this intensity followed this kind of a track out of the Gulf to come into the peninsula of Florida. Over 100 years. And even then, it was a devastating storm when it hit. It was massive. So I want to pause here for a moment just to add a couple of things that you don't hear much from the Weather Channel. You're not going to hear this from mainstream media because they are so sold out that it's got to be climate change, it's got to be global warming, it's got to be SUVs and gas stoves and cows that are killing the environment and destroying making bad weather. I read an article about a year ago. And it was in a scientific journal. And, they were talking about, and I've seen this in multiple locations. In the Pacific Ocean, we have had a series of underwater volcanoes. And what does an underwater volcano do? It heats the water. Boy, does it heat the water. And not so much that it's heating the water in the Gulf of Mexico. There is some of that that goes on. There have been a lot of typhoons that have formed off the coast of Mexico that have traveled, and before they get so far north that they dissipate to a degree, they have become rather intense across this hot water. But there's something else that happens, and I didn't understand this until I read this article. As these underground volcanoes, and there have been some in the Atlantic too, heats up the water, but it also boils off, for lack of a better term, tremendous amounts of water into the atmosphere. And this becomes a global situation. All this extra water and moisture way up in the atmosphere. And as clouds begin to form, they can gather more moisture for heavier rain. And this is one of the things that I believe we are seeing with some of the more recent hurricanes in the past year that seem to have more rain attached to them, including Helene that became so massive because there was so much water abundance in the atmosphere globally that we had vastly more intense rain. And having all this moisture and all that goes with it can increase the intensity of these storms as well. Now, I remember while we were watching all these other things way out in the Atlantic, oh, yeah, we're going to have Kirk, we're going to have this, we're going to have the other. And nobody was paying much attention to this disturbance in the Gulf. And it would show like, oh, no chance in the next 3 days, 2 days, but a 20% or a 30% or 50%, then down to a 30% chance. It kept wavering because it's not a hotbed area to develop a storm. And one to go northeast from there is even more rare. Now, I'm not going to get into discussions about, you know, maybe is this being controlled by the government? I'm not going to get in there because I don't have the evidence. And I don't tend to discuss things that I can't feel comfortable in having at least some proof. Because 9 times out of 10, you end up getting egg in your face when you jump down those rabbit holes. I've learned it. I've seen it. I've watched it. But there's something in the atmosphere that is disturbing, all this moisture. And so this is going to be an intense storm. It's going to cause a lot of damage. Can it impact the election? Maybe. It could even in Florida. You know, conservative DeSantis country could swing if you lose enough voters in the West and you've already lost some in the panhandle. Anything is possible. The same is true with Western North Carolina. Outside of the immediate Asheville area, it is a relatively conservative area. I don't know of many places in Western North Carolina that would be considered Democrat strongholds outside of Asheville. Now, with that said, I want to share a story that I had a conversation with a good friend of mine this past Sunday at church. And one of his very close friends for many, many years, he and his wife, not quite about a month ago, had a couple of days off from their work. And they decided, you know, they hadn't taken any kind of a vacation of any kind in a long time. And they just wanted to take maybe 2 or 3 days to just get away, you know, a little getaway for them. And I understand that. My wife and I have done that too. You know, sometimes you need a few days away from it all. And so they decided, of all places, just because it's not that far from Southwest Virginia to go to Asheville. And they hadn't been there in many years, so they really didn't, they hadn't paid attention, a lot of people don't, to what has occurred in that part of North Carolina. I can remember the first time I ever saw Asheville was way back in the 70s and into the 80s, and the politics and the weirdness hadn't hit the place yet. It was a beautiful place with the Biltmore as an attraction and a lot of other things that were worth seeing. in the immediate area. Good friend of mine visited that area several years ago and said, you know, when you're outside of Asheville, it's a beautiful place and you have the Blue Ridge Parkway and all these campgrounds, and they just enjoyed their time. But they said, when you get into some of downtown Asheville, it just goes from normal to weird in 1 mile. And as I've mentioned before, and I really never spoke much about it, when I did my emergency management work, it was Buncombe County, North Carolina, and Asheville is the, you know, the county seat. I was there. So I can attest to some of the stuff that goes on. Well, this couple, good Christian couple, had decided to take a few days and just, you know, see the beautiful mountains of North Carolina. I know we have beautiful mountains here, too, in Southwest Virginia, but, you know, there are a lot of things to do and see in that part of the world. And it was a good way, just about a two-hour drive. It's not that bad. You just leave here, go head toward from here down 81 to I-26, go through Johnson City, the beautiful pass coming out of Tennessee into North Carolina, and before you know it, you're there. And they had a hotel reservation. And so they got to Asheville. And they're looking at a guide of things to do while you're here. And they saw there was some kind of a arts festival going on in Asheville. And so they decided, you know, hey, we got here. Let's go check it out. And so they went there. And they were in for the shock of their life. See, it wasn't just your typical arts festival with all this stuff and the food and the things you can see and do. It had pagan overtones, is the only way that you could describe it. A lot of paganism going on. A lot of display of homosexuality going on and pride going on. And the one thing that just shocked this couple, there was almost like a pagan temple set up to worship. Ready for this? I'm not kidding. This is serious. To worship water. And people were praying at this kind of statue thing that had water running out of it. And they're praying to the God of water. I've warned you about Gaia worship, which is the worship of the earth. And what does Romans chapter 1 have to say about it? Read it. Those that worship the creation and not the creator are given over to a reprobate mind. And they observed this for a while, and they looked at each other. They left that place immediately, checked out of their hotel, and said, enough is enough. We can't stay here. It makes you wonder. It makes you wonder. Have we angered an almighty God sufficiently enough that this is part of judgment? I know the people there, and I know some of the people I worked with in government. Some are pretty weird. I'm going to tell you that right now. I worked there, and I came there, as I've told you many a time, to help a friend of mine that had become their emergency manager. And I went there with an open heart and an open mind to serve. But I saw a lot of wokeness there. Not with everybody. I saw a very divided county council because, see, the county council is divided because those in the city of Asheville, it's very blue, and those outside, it changes in a mile. And so the county council, for a lack of a better description, is purple. It's a blend of blue and red. But the city of Asheville, to its core, is about as left-wing lunatic as you can get. It is really an area that I think is just provoking God. And this couple from Southwest Virginia decided enough was enough, and they got out of Asheville as quick as they could. I'm trying to remember if they even bothered to spend their first night there, or they got out the next morning early. But they left. They terminated that. They went somewhere else. I don't know what the future is going to bring. As you're listening to this program, I recorded it in advance, and I'm sure the storm can change. Everything can change on a dime. Everything we know could change over in just minutes. 20 years ago, in August, as we watched Hurricane Charley churning up the side of the west side of Florida, we didn't expect a whole lot, to be quite honest. The physical storm was not that massive, and everybody thought it was going to end up just going toward Tallahassee or up toward the Big Bend and come through there and head on into Georgia and dissipate. And as that storm was working its way up that morning, coming up the Gulf Coast, passing Fort Myers and heading up the coast, we expected some winds because it was offshore. We were anticipating winds of about, 50 to 80 miles an hour. Now, where we lived at the time, our homes were built to withstand it. We had shutters, and our daughter lived across the street. We had helped her get a house that even had better shutters and a little bit more room to work with and a fenced-in backyard. So we just all went across the street for what we would call, back in the day, a hurricane party. We had plenty of food. We had, gas grills. We had plenty of water. We were ready for if power was going to be out for several days. We had everything ready. And the storm came and went where we were at in Venice fairly quick. Matter of just a couple of hours, the winds came and the rains came and then they left and then it cleared up very quickly. But the storm had come in where we did not expect it. It made a sudden turn at the last minute right into Charlotte Harbor and into a community called Deep Creek and caused just untold devastation in a small area. And I shared the other day that my late wife and I spent a lot of time delivering water and supplies and everything else for over a week. And I had a member of my church who was a builder that got a crew together, and we got the permission to come in because we were doing it as a church and charitable, not charging, and we were helping people out. It's 20 years ago. Today, I think FEMA would get in your way trying to help anybody. They want people to be helpless and dependent upon them. It is a deep concern. So I just want to say before we head to a break here, and I've got some other stories that I want to share on the other side. I don't know what the future is going to bring. I'm expecting that the storm is going to be approaching Florida tomorrow on Wednesday. And you may hear this program on 5950 on Tuesday night. And then, of course, we're normally not there on Wednesday, and it's going to be, I don't know, we may not be here on WRMI on Thursday, depending upon how this storm tracks, or Friday. And depending upon how much damage they receive, it could be days, it could be weeks, it could be months, it could be never. We don't know. And I'm not going to worry about it today. I will say this much, WRMI has been the station with the largest audience, and I know some people say, oh, you need to be on WBCQ. Sorry, I can't afford it. Their rate is too high. Cannot do it. WWCR, same thing. Cannot afford their rate. There's never been enough support to do it, so don't even ask about those two stations. I cannot do it. And there's nobody else left except WTWW, and even there, it's questionable. And so we're going to have some decisions to make depending upon the outcome. Like I say, a lot of people say, Bob, you need to be on WBCQ. Cannot afford it. The money is not there. The same is true with WWCR. The money is simply not there to support five nights a week or, two or three airings. I don't have a large base behind me. This base has been built strictly from starting from literally scratch on just shortwave. And I have no product to sell to make up the difference. I'm not selling prepper foods and generators or books or DVDs or any of that stuff. I don't sell anything here. So if I was selling prepper food, I'm sure I could afford to pay for WWCR or WBCQ. I'm sure, if I'm selling lots of prepper food, yeah, I could do it, but I'm not doing that. That's not my calling. It's not where God has led this program. I've been saying for 2 or 3 years now, we need to find a way to stay connected when things go bad. And I've also pointed out two vulnerabilities. Number one, shortwave radio has got a lot of vulnerabilities because most of these stations, and it's just a fact of life, there's only one company that builds in the United States transmitters today for shortwave, and that is Continental Electronics. And unless you've got $1 million, you're not buying one. And you need to wait a year to get one. If you do, it's going to take you a year plus $1 million to buy a transmitter. That's the way it is. Antenna systems, same thing. There's only one couple of companies that make that stuff, and they don't make that many. They're doing other things. In other words, the world has changed in 40 years. Many of the companies in the United States, like Harris and RCA, they don't make shortwave transmitters anymore. RCA hasn't in like 35 years or more, maybe 40. Harris stopped making them about 10, 15 years ago. Companies like CSI, CCA, companies that I've worked for, they've been out of business for a long time. Wilkinson Electronics, all these companies that made this stuff, they're gone. And you're down to one. And nobody makes solid state. Someone said, well, isn't there a company called Nautel that makes high powered? They don't do shortwave, never have, never will. I've asked. And so we could, in theory, be coming to an end of an era in time. Because, see, as governments are pulling out, unless you're China, and they're the ones, only ones expanding their shortwave footprint and they're building transmitters. But as the Western world is backing out, who's going to make the gear? And the United States has got some pretty strict requirements on the stuff that's acceptable to use. And so I'm just giving you a heads up. We'll know later this week what the story is. Right now, this radio program is heard as a podcast every day. And I have to think. I've got to think going forward. You know, is being a podcast a good thing? Is it being a bad thing? I had somebody contact me wanting me to buy commercial airtime. Where's the money going to come from for that? He wants to broker me and put me on radio stations. Well, to cover the United States, I'd have to be on like 500 radio stations. It's not going to happen. Well, I can get you sponsors for 500 radio stations? No. I've got to really rethink this. And I mean, like I say, right now, WTWW is there, 10 o'clock at night on 5950. That's the only time that we're on. Weeknights, 5950, 10 p.m. Eastern time. And so bear that in mind to look for it. Maybe we could, if something goes wrong, we could expand there. But for now, I'm just giving you a little bit of a heads up. A lot of things are happening in the background. And my prayers are with everybody at WRMI. These are some of my dearest friends. And I can only imagine, you know, what they have been spared so many times before. But I also recognize this could be the one that really can hurt them for a long period of time. So keep that station in your prayers as we go into Wednesday.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
As Truth to Ponder begins its fifth year of ministry, we enter a new era of programs and purpose. Since our inception in the summer of 2020, we have endeavored to bring you accurate and vital news and information. We have worked diligently to expose the political bias and the many lies being told by mainstream media, government officials, social media, and tech giants. Many of the stories we have shared over the past 4 years were once labeled as conspiracy theories. Today, those stories have proven true. Did those who lied to you ever apologize or acknowledge their lies? The answer is obvious. They haven't, and they won't. We are now entering one of the most critical times in the history of our world. Artificial intelligence can monitor much of what we do and say online and report it to both the government and private corporations. Artificial intelligence can create false but convincing propaganda narratives in all forms of media at lightning speed, including video and audio. Sorting truth from propaganda is getting harder to do each day. As part of our new emphasis in these historic times, Truth to Ponder will be partnering with other ministries and news sources to increase the amount of factual and needed information you must have in these troublesome times. To meet this challenge, we will vastly increase our efforts to put all of today's events and news stories in the light of God's world. We will be developing study resources and a platform that does not depend on the internet for delivery. We also pray to increase our radio footprint throughout North America and beyond. To meet this new challenge and to grow, we need your prayerful support now more than ever. Would you let others know about this program? Would you be a monthly partner with us? If you can, visit our website at truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. At our website, you can find out how to support us using Give, Send, Go, a Christian online donation processing organization. That website again, truth2ponder.com. You can also support us by making a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. That's Ancient Word Radio. Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia, 24319. Once again, make the check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, spelled C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowee, Virginia, zip code 24319. That's 24319. May God richly bless you as you help us spread the truth the world needs to hear.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of our Tuesday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. I don't want to spend too much more time discussing hurricanes and storms. There are a lot of other sources for that. But I do want to share a few things that are really on my heart and my mind. Everything about the federal response to the most recent hurricane, Helene, as somebody that worked in emergency management, is extremely disturbing. It has been a very slow and inadequate response to assist these victims. And I really believe that this administration is evil. I'm just going to call them out for what they are. They're evil, despicable. They are nothing but whoremongering with Satan himself with the stuff that they do. This pro-abortion, pro-trans group, pro-diversity, equity, inclusion, which is all silliness and nonsense to the core, is destroying the American people. We've had 100 and some odd thousand drug overdoses in 2023, most of it from fentanyl that has come in from China across our southern border, and they don't care. Oh, the boy, what did Mayorkas say? Oh, the border's secure. What a liar. And oh, we don't have enough money for the, and notice that last week, Mayorkas said, we're running out of money. We can't deal with another hurricane. Really? Misappropriation of funds. People that were giving, I mean, look, FEMA is a bloated, worthless, useless, garbagey agency. I have dealt with them. I have no respect for them. They come in, they come into your town and try to take over knowing nothing about your town. They just think that we are from the government. We're here to help. I think Ronald Reagan warned us about that a long time ago. The scariest words in the language. I'm from the government and I'm here to help. No, you're not. You're here to hinder. You're here to control. You're here to be a problem. You're here to suck up money and waste it. Even Glenn Beck pointed out not that many days ago, there was a FEMA van, you know, like a big, like a motorhome thing. And it was kind of off the beaten path in Asheville, getting ready to sign people up for help. And when somebody asked, well, how is anybody going to find you? Well, they can watch us on, just put on the TV news. Hey, there's no electricity. Some of this, and a lot of the radio and TV stations are off the air, so how are they going to find out about you? They're just government workers ready to have you fill it out in triplicate and paperwork when you're thirsty and in need. And I've said this 15 years ago after my experience with them on a Homeland Security drill. We need to fire 95% of the employees at FEMA and make it nothing but a clearinghouse and a checkbook, and let the local emergency managers through their states just request the assets they need, like an insurance policy. You know, it's like a Lloyd's of London policy for hitting the maximum of maximums beyond your normal capacity to deal with emergencies. I worked in the business. Our county, where I worked at one time in a different state, we could deal with virtually every emergency that came through. It's rare that we needed the help of the state, let alone the Fed. But it would be for such a time as like a hurricane, or such a time as, you know, tornado damage or something really out of the ordinary that strains your resources, and you go to your state and then the state can go to the federal. It's like a big insurance policy. We don't need the federal government managing anything like an emergency because they're too incompetent, because they're too full of DEI hires. We've seen that in the Secret Service back in July, if memory serves me right. And now we realize that billions of dollars, you know, of FEMA money are used to house illegal migrants in this country. And yet Mayorkas will say, well, it's a different fund. I don't care. Number one, you shouldn't have brought the people here to begin with illegally. You shouldn't have flown them here. You shouldn't have opened the border up. None of that should have happened. This is traitorous and it's treasonous. Why did you do it? Because they want to influence voting and become a one-party communist type government. That's what they're looking for. Sickos like Joe Biden. Really, I believe that God has struck that man with dementia and has given him over to delusion. He has sold out the United States. He's a phony in everything he's ever done. Talks about his good Catholic faith. Well, the Catholic Church is in deep trouble. You have got a fake, phony pope. That is, this pope is serving the spirit of Antichrist with the stuff that he's saying. All roads lead to heaven. It could be a different religion. No, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh to the Father yet through me. But this perverted pope is saying otherwise and preaching another gospel, which is not the gospel, which is an anathema, which is evil, which should be just condemned. And Joe Biden talks about being a good Catholic. Well, good Catholics do not believe in abortion. The entire Democrat Party has been taken over by nothing but pagans. Nothing but baby-killing pagans. In other words, infanticide, infant sacrifice in the womb. We don't even have to wait till they're born anymore to burn them alive. We get to just kill them in the womb. And we worship the planet. Gaia worship. And then we worship Ishtar, the goddess that could change a man into a woman and a woman into a man. Sound familiar? This is the pagans that are running our country right now, and you have a bunch of closet Republican pagans in there as well. And so United States citizens do without. And the rest of the world, maybe we should, you know, call up Zelensky and borrow a few billion back to help our people in Western North Carolina, in North Florida, in Georgia, in South Carolina, in Tennessee, and even Southwest Virginia. Maybe he can part with maybe a few billion of the 200 billion we've sent them for this endless war run by the warmongers and satanically inspired demons that want death. That's all it is. It's a death cult. The Democrat death cult. They wanted you vaccinated, even though there was no proof it would work. And now they want to lie about how many people have died. Too many. How many young people have turbo cancer now? Something unheard of prior to 2021 and the rollout of the vaccines. How many college students have to die of heart attacks? How many strange deaths have there got to be? Unexplained, it's, you know, SADS, you know, sudden adult death syndrome. I mean, this is now just accepted as normal. And then we have that DEI quack. You know, diversity, equity, inclusion, FEMA director Jacqueline Rothenberg, By the way, she locked her ex account. She doesn't want to be criticized. Ooh, she can't handle it. If you can't handle it, get out of your job. Oh, but it's my personal account. Well, then take the FEMA logo off your account. I'm sick of these people not being held responsible, not telling you what they're really doing. She needs to be fired immediately. I think Biden should resign immediately. I think Kamala Harris should resign because she's worthless. She's useless, but she's too full of her ego and herself. And I'm also afraid they're going to stack the deck and that witch is going to win. That's my greatest fear. That they will stuff the ballot box in Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin, tip Georgia and North Carolina, and it's all over. Might even get Florida, depending upon this storm and how it's handled at the federal level. I really believe the state will do a great job. They have. We're in a world of hurt. That's all I can tell you. Saw this quick story. This comes out of New Zealand. Just to give you an idea of how diversity hiring is dangerous. They have a lesbian captain of a boat in their Navy. And, you know, this person slithered. Look, DEI, in other words, instead of looking for the most competent people to do the work, the job and leadership, they're picking based upon, are you a homosexual or are you trans or are you something? Those are the things that count, not your ability to do the job. And so they took this lesbian thing and put her as captain of a boat. It's a chilling example of what happens when DEI policies take over. The New Zealand Navy appointed Yvonne Gray, a former teacher from Yorkshire, as captain of a vessel. And it is known and it was celebrated as a diversity hire. Not because of her naval experience, but because she was a lesbian and a champion of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And so what did she end up doing? In her big moment, under her command, her boat under her command and leadership ran into a reef, caught fire, and sank off the coast of Samoa. The ship, worth over $100 million, gone to the bottom. Some may say, oh, it's a tragic. No. That's a Trojan horse. It wasn't of her personal sex life that caused the ship to sink per se. It was her incompetence. The problem is her competency was secondary to quotas. And 75 lives were put at risk because of it. We've seen a lot of it in the airlines. We've seen it everywhere. Look at some of the aircraft coming out of Boeing with parts falling off. And you find out it was subcontractors that were all in for DEI that forgot to put bolts and pieces into doors. We're a nation run by idiots, fools, and reprobates now, for the most part. And where's the church been? Way too often absent without leave.
Oh, we don't want to talk about politics.
Well, talk about what the Bible says. And if the politics get in the way, well, pardon me for saying it this way, the politics be damned. Because they are damned already. We've seen leadership here in the United States. I've seen it in Canada. Germany, man, you guys are heading right back to the 1930s. You're plowing your way back into being a dictatorship. And I think the people of Germany are about to have had enough. When do we pause for a moment and recognize that we are, as a nation, I don't care if you live in Canada or the United States or anywhere, just that your nation has gone apostate, your nation has gone Antichrist. And like I shared at the earlier in the program, that couple that left our area of Virginia to just take a little vacation to a town they hadn't been to in about 20 years to find out just how much of a debauchery that city had become in just 20 years. I remember, like I say, from the 70s and 80s, a totally different Asheville, North Carolina than I see today. I've got a friend of mine, a couple of years older than I am, that goes way back to my choir days as a kid. We're talking 55, 60 years ago. Who now lives there, and he has had to move farther away from the downtown city because it's gotten too strange. And he may be in his 70s, but he's a very talented individual in helping elderly. And he's still a hiker, and he still loves the mountains. But I have to wonder what his status is today, what he thinks today. I know there's some good churches in and around the Asheville area, but I know the majority of people in that city are anti-Christ-oriented. I had somebody made a statement the other day, and it just kind of bothered me, talking about how, you know, just that, oh, the church is a business. You know, that's all it is. It's just a business. No, it isn't. You perceive that because you don't want to support or give into it. You don't want to have any requirements put on you. You want to be a solo act. You want to be out there on your own. And I wrote the guy and I said, the Bible says, forsaking not the assembling of thyself, which is the matter of some. I got news for you. Christianity, number one, is not a spectator sport. So if your church is too busy worrying about smoke machines and light shows and bands and everything else, maybe you need to rethink your message. You know, I belong to a group online, Small Church Media, because, you know, our little church, yeah, we use it. We stream, but I don't have any light shows. I don't have a smoke machine. I don't have a skinny jeaned, wailing young singer to tantalize and entertain you. I don't have any of that. I'm just using the tools that are out there to reach as many as I can. But I can remember there was this big discussion. My smoke machine doesn't work as well as I need it to, and we really can't. And listen, I'm not exaggerating this. It's hard to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit without the smoke machine. I'm going, really? How did the church survive for 1,990 years without a smoke machine and a light show and skinny jeans and a praise band and all the stuff to make you woo and happy? How did the church survive? It survived better than it is now, let me tell you. I worry about churches that have just gone in, you know, they become spectator sports or spectator entertainment. This is like going to the theater. You just sit in the comfortable chairs and go, ooh, and ah, and this, and you hear the music and you stand up and you sway to the music. That's not about worshiping God. That's about worshiping yourself. That's an anathema. We don't go to church to be entertained and feel good about ourselves. Show me one verse in the Bible that says we gather together to feel good about ourselves, to be made happy about ourselves. It's not there. But we've perverted the gospel of Jesus Christ into something that is me-ism, not him any longer. The United States, the entire, what I call, formerly Western Christian world, is underneath God's judgment right now. And you, as Christians, need to understand that. That we are coming into a time of intense tribulation and God's judgment. I think when that guy shared the story about them worshiping water in Asheville, about a month or so ago, at this festival, having an altar with water running and people bowing down and worshiping the water. How was Asheville destroyed? By wind? No, water. I think they were playing with fire and they didn't realize it. Time will tell. Even the conservative parts of Florida, I think, are also under God's judgment. There are a lot of these great conservatives. They'll vote for Trump, but they don't go to church. They made a mockery of their faith. When are you going to wake up and realize that God has had enough of phony, fake, false Christians in phony, fake, and false churches, or not even bothering to go at all? Tomorrow, I hope you can listen to the podcast. I know we're only on WRMI, if WRMI is even on the air. And it may not be there Thursday. But we still want to continue on WTWW, and to do that, we need your support. Would you consider helping us today? Visit our website, truth2ponder.com. We use Give, Send, Go. Or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, 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 Virginia, 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, Chilhowie, Chilhowie, Virginia, zip code 24319. That's 24319.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.
This is Ancient Word Radio.